Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. One of the most divisive things that divide churches all over the place is the whole thing of baptism. That's done so many different ways and so many different modes. And I don't know about you. Have you ever been to any goofy baptisms before in your life? I was at a baptism once and a buddy of mine was baptizing about a 400-pound guy. Great big guy. And I mean just not big this way, but big this way. He was just a big man. And somehow my little pastor buddy slipped and he tried holding on to the guy who was off balance, and the old big guy fell on top of him in front. They kind of like baptized each other. Did you see the viral video on YouTube of the little boy in the African-American church that they're showing? His father is taking the video from the side view looking down into the tank, and the pastor, a wonderful pastor, is saying, you know, little Johnny, you know, he came to the Lord, given his heart to Jesus, and today he comes for baptism. And we just want to say that we love him. They're saying all this stuff. And this little boy is just jittering all over the place, but he's in the water. So he said, little Johnny, I baptize you in name of the Father and of the... And all of a sudden, little Johnny says, I do it myself! And puts himself under the water. And he came up, I did it! Go on YouTube. You will, boy baptizes himself. You got to see it. My old buddy, Levy Corey... He would always tell stories of baptizing out at an old farm when he was a young pastor out in the hills of Kentucky. And they were baptizing at a cow pond, you know, a watering pond for this farmer's cows. And he had four ladies he was going to baptize that day. Well, he almost did. They started wading out in the water, and the water moccasins came out of the weeds, and they were gone. Or he also told a story of baptizing way out in a lake, and he had this little old man, and he went to this beach, but it was one of those beaches like Houghton Lake, you know, that just goes on shallow forever, and they kept going farther out and farther out. Finally got up to about their necks, and they could barely see the crowd, you know, on the shore, and he said, I raised one hand to heaven to thank God, stepped off the drop-off and pulled both of us down, and I mean, there's just so many. Or you go to those over-sanctimonious baptisms, you know, with all the candles and smoke, and they've turned it into just something crazy instead of the simple thing it was meant to be. I've attended all of them. I've been on to all of that. And some of the most meaningful baptism services I've ever been to has been in a pool out behind a house. At a little house in Clarkston years ago. They came to Christ, they invited all their friends to their home, and we waded out under a swimming pool and I baptized the family. Really, one of the most meaningful and really non-religious, it was beautiful. Let me just answer a few questions today. But as we do, let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 28. I just want to read this to you, beginning at verse 18. Jesus is about to leave earth to go back to heaven after his crucifixion and after appearing for 40 days to his disciples. I mean, amazing stuff. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Why do we baptize? Now, I love this. If you'll read also the account, Matthew writes this account. Luke also wrote an account at the beginning of the book of Acts of this very moment. And just before Jesus told them to do this, they were asking him, now, Lord, is this the time you're going to give Israel, that you return the kingdom to Israel? And are you going to start set up your kingdom here? And are you going to do all this stuff? And Jesus takes them all off that future stuff and brings them back to the now and now. They all wanted to speculate, write their books on special prophecy and about the end times and all of that. And what's happening when we overemphasize that stuff, we miss the now. And Jesus told them, I'm sending you into the world to make disciples. I want you to go out and share the gospel. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I want you to teach them to observe everything that I have told you. Those things are very important, aren't they? I want you to know, in the midst of that, baptism is part of it. There's something about baptism that Jesus has set up. And I'll tell you why we baptize. Because he said so. Pretty easy, isn't it? Why is it we want everything all figured out? Okay, we have plenty of evidence for the resurrection of Christ and the authority of the scriptures and all that stuff, right? So when you don't quite understand it, you just do it because he said so. Did your mother ever tell you that? Do it because I said so. I used to hate that when she would say that. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people say that to their kids. You know, sometimes it's just true. Just do what he says. So he told us to baptize people. It's very simple. That's why we baptize, because he said so. And the meaning of baptism is so interesting. If you'll go with me to the book of Romans, please. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 is speaking of two kinds of baptism, both baptism in water. And then Jesus also said that he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit, immerse us into the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's another sermon. But here he's relating it, in beginning at verse number 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Do you see what this is? Interesting pictures, too, of death and burial and resurrection. But it's a statement. It's a statement to your world that you have become a follower of Jesus. It's a public identification with Jesus, your own personal identification with the greatest moment in all history, that you believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Very simple. People would come to Christ and they would baptize them. They would make that statement publicly. And Jesus told us to do this. Now I want you to see, there is anywhere in the Bible that we are told that baptism saves anybody. If you think because you were baptized that you're going to heaven, you're not. Because your work of being baptized doesn't save you. It is a simple identification. That's all it is. I identify with Jesus. Do you remember a man dying next door to Jesus on the cross? No water around there at the time. And Jesus said to him, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." The Corinthians were all proud of who had baptized who. Well, you know, Peter baptized me, you know. I'm in the Peter Club. And they had all these clubs going of who baptized who. Paul said, "Thank God I didn't baptize any of you guys. I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach Christ." He let other people do the baptizing. Okay? So he didn't. In no way was it ever stated that baptism saves us. In fact, Ray Pritchard gives a couple of great illustrations in his article on baptism that he wrote on many years ago now. Whenever I drive down Huron Street, I drive past Mrs. Keeler's old school. You know, the wonderful thing of that school was, every morning, maybe you're not old enough to have this happen to you, but every morning, we would stand up and face the American flag and put our hands over our hearts, and we would pledge allegiance to the flag. That's not the source of our freedom. That doesn't make you an American. But if you are an American, you publicly state your allegiance to our nation. Do you see? It's pretty simple, right? Almost 42 years ago, Debbie and I stood up at the old Sunnyvale Chapel, which is now Grace Baptist, and she placed a ring on my finger. All that is a public symbol that I'm taken. I lost my first ring. This wasn't the one she gave me. Were we playing football, Debbie? Is that what it was? In my parents' backyard, and I had lost some weight, and we were goofing off, and I lost my ring. That's it. You didn't take care of it. I'm not buying you another one. So a couple years later, my buddy Lyle and I are at the U.S. Open at Oakland Hills. It's raining. I've got my big golf umbrella standing at the 18th green. And there's this girl standing in the rain. My daddy told me you don't let ladies stand in the rain. So I put my umbrella over her while we watched the last little bit of conversation. And when it was all done, she said to me, "You know, the players' dinner is tonight, and my parents and I are members here, and I'd love for you to attend the dinner with us tonight." And I said, "You have just made my day." But I said, I'm married. Oh, you didn't have a ring on. I said, "No, I lost it, but I'm married. Thank you. It's so sweet of you to ask." So I got home and told Debbie the story. Bam! I had a ring on my finger. Ba-boom! There it is. Oh, it was great. It was a great moment in my life. Did you ever see the Everybody Loves Raymond Oh, where he loses his wedding ring. You know, oh, it's just a trip. You got to look that up. Oh, it's just great. This isn't my marriage. This represents the fact. This is my public, a public statement of a private vow I took in that building all those years ago, right? That's what a wedding ring is. Baptism does not save you. Oh, I know. There's some folks that'll run right to the book of Acts, chapter 2, when Peter preaches and they say, men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And they'll say, see, you got to be baptized in order to be forgiven. No, the Greek there is be baptized, pointing to the remission of sins. I mean, saying I've been forgiven. That's what that means. And so we can't take that. But it's very simple. Baptism, we do it because Jesus says so. And we do it as a public statement of a private commitment we have made to Jesus. That we're going to follow him. The life of Jesus transforms us. Oh, I'm way far from perfect, ask Debbie. But I'm better than I used to be. Jesus is changing me. And he's changing you. And so we talk about the fact is that I'm trusting Christ and he's transforming my life. It's transformation, you guys. It's a transformation that we say our old life is gone. And we're going to follow Jesus now. Augustine, the bishop of Hippo in the 1400s. He was quite the ladies' man, quite the bounder, as Dr. Gall would say. When he came to Christ, he began his journey with Jesus, and one of the old girlfriends saw him on the street. Augustine, it is I. And he said, my dear, it is not me. And he walked away. It's a public statement. That's what it is. Simple, isn't it? By the way, there are no secret believers, okay? That doesn't go well. You need to make your stand for Jesus. I mean, not being a jerk for Jesus, if you know what I mean. You've seen those. But you're going to follow Christ. And baptism is a beginning step toward making it public. Now, let's just finish the rest of it while we've got a couple minutes. How should we baptize? Let me just give you an overview. I mean, there's so many different ways that the Christian church does it. We do it for a reason, the way we do it. Let me tell you why. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo. They never translated the word. They transliterated it because so many Christians baptized in different ways. It means literally to immerse, to dip. And then its secondary meaning is to come under the influence of. But the idea is to immerse. It was originally by immersion. If you look at the Gospels, wherever John the Baptist baptized, there had to be plenty of water. Jesus and John were baptizing disciples at the same time along a certain region in Palestine. And it says plainly in John chapter 3, they both baptized there because there was plenty of water. What does that mean? Philip, in the book of Acts, meets an Ethiopian who is the head of the treasuries of the queen of Ethiopia. He's in a chariot, and he's reading the book of the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. And the Lord says to Philip, go stand by the chariot. So he goes over and stands by the chariot. And he hears this guy reading, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. And so Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how can I understand unless somebody helps me with this? Philip climbs up into the chariot, sits beside the great treasurer, and explains to him who that's about. That's about Jesus. And all of a sudden, this Ethiopian says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And he said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And he believed. And here's the statement. They went down into the water and were baptized. And the scripture says they came up out of the water. That's why we baptize by immersion, because it is the biblical description. Let me say this to you. I am not interested in a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo or some other crazy religious ceremony that we turn this baptism thing into some weird thing that the Bible never intended it to be. We baptize by immersion, and that's why. I'm not interested in doing any other way than what the Bible simply says. Now listen, it's not sinful to baptize any other way. You can be wrong if you want to. But it's just very simple. The Bible pictures burial when you're baptized. You know, the burial of Jesus. It's all about immersion, you guys, and that's why we do that. Let me say one other thing. What about infant baptism. Well, let's go to some biblical references where babies were baptized. There aren't any. Maybe that shocks you. But in every case, when someone was baptized, it was because they had heard the gospel of Jesus and they believed, and then they went through baptism. That's how it always was. Now, the biggest problem with infant baptism is this. People think because they were sprinkled with water on their head by a priest when they were little, that somehow they're a Christian because of that. That is never shown in the Bible, ever. And I don't care what Christian church has it as their tradition. The tradition is a lie that gives false security to somebody that's never truly believed in Jesus. So if you were baptized as a baby, God bless you. You know what we call that? Baby dedication. We dedicate our children to Jesus. But the problem is this. If you think that you're going to heaven because you were baptized as a baby, I'm sorry, there's no biblical basis for that at all. And what's really scary is I've talked to friends of mine over the years. So many guys have said, oh, I don't have to do all that Jesus freak stuff. I'm not doing it. I was baptized when the baby, man, I'm covered. I said, really? Show me that in the Bible. Well, the church says. I don't care what the church says. You know what the problem with a whole lot of Christian denominations are? They take their tradition over the scripture, and they have walked away from the true teaching of the Bible. Is that clear enough? Oh, gosh. So let me tell you, the reason for baptism is to publicly declare your faith in Jesus. I'm his, he's mine. And if you are trusting in anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness and for being made right with God, then you're hanging on to an idol. You're hanging on to something that will not save you. The Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift that God gives to all who believe. You need to make a decision for Christ now. God bless your parents for wanting you to be a Christian and going through a ceremony in an old church for you. But I'm telling you, it's got to be personal or it's nothing to you. Jesus Christ died for you. You either believe him or you reject him, and your eternity is based on that decision. It's very important. Trust Christ for you. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord, you know, modes of baptism and all that are very secondary to us. We fellowship with our brothers and sisters who believe that salvation is through Christ alone, dying on a cross, and they baptize different ways, and that's secondary. We're not going to make a big deal. But thank you for the way we do it here and the way our forefathers did it through the biblical example. And we ask that you will help us to do things according to the scriptures. Father, we ask for a great awakening in those churches that tell people that they're safe based on a ceremony. And may they not be deceived, and may you open eyes and help. And for my friends here, Lord, who think because of that they're a Christian, Father, we ask that you would help them today to turn to you, Jesus, and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need you. I need you to save me. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I give my life to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness to us. May your blessing rest on your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.